Voyage.
Welcome to this edition of Scumbags of History with your hosts Brittany Schmidt and Mateen Stewart.
I'm talking about scumbags of history. Talking about these people suck ass.
These people suck.
They were pieces of shit. They still pieces of shit. Scumbags of history. Scumbags of history.
Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Albert Einstein. Is it possible these enlightened historical figures were total scumbags? That's what we're trying to decide on Scumbags of History, where we pick through the dirty underwear pile of the lesser known facts about some of the famous people society has put on a pedestal. We're your host, Confirmed Scumbags. I'm Brittany Schmidt.
I'm Mateen Stewart.
Let's get started.
Let's get started.
Today we're talking about Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss.
Not Dr. Phil.
Dr. Seuss.
I know what you're thinking. You silly goose. The Dr. Seuss? What kind of scumbaggery could he produce? Was that what you were thinking, Mateen?
That's exactly what I was thinking. I didn't know Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss. Let's just say it's not easy to find cute words that rhyme with xenophobia and philandering.
Xenophobia and philandering.
Xenophobia. I don't even really know what philandering is, low key, high key, all the keys. All right, tell me what you know about Dr. Seuss.
All right, so I know Dr. Seuss. He wrote a lot of books, some of the most iconic books of our childhood, mm-hmm. of a lot of people's childhood. Even my daughter, we were reading the Green Eggs and Ham book. Mm-hmm. That used to be one of my favorite books, Green Eggs and Ham.
You know, it always weirded me out because I'm like, why are the eggs green?
Yeah.
Are they rotten? Are we poor? But what happened?
Then the ham was also green.
Right.
It wasn't even like a regular ham. It was like green eggs and ham. I am, Sam I am, I will not. And then the thing about it is like, what did Sam I am do to that guy to be like, yo, man, I don't give a fuck what you are doing. I am not going to eat this shit with you. Now, was it the green eggs and ham that he was worried about?
Sam I am and green eggs and ham.
But yeah, so it was like, I'm not going to do this with you. I'm not going to do this with you, Sam I am. So was it he worried about the green eggs and ham, or he just didn't want to eat it with Sam I am?
Well, I don't know. Sam I am seems sus, but I would be more concerned that the eggs are green.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if they're green eggs, then they're also, it's Dr. Seuss.
But also, he wrote The Grinch, which is iconic.
It is iconic.
Like Jim Carrey as The Grinch.
Jim Carrey as anything is great, but
I know, but without Seuss, there wouldn't have been the Jim Carrey adaptation of The Grinch, and that is
you're a mean one,
Mr. Grinch.
Mr. Grinch. I've never read the book, but I know the cartoon, and he also wrote Cat in the Hat, mm-hmm. One Fish, Blue Fish, Red Fish.
Yeah. Okay. So you know,
I know him. I know of his works. He's an icon, children's. Stories.
Yeah. Duck, Duck, Goose, Dr. Seuss.
Duck, Duck, Goose, Dr. Seuss. But apparently, was a fucking scumbag.
Well, he was a little scummy. Let's see. So he was born Theodore Seuss Gazelle.
Oh, so Seuss is like his real...
Seuss is his middle name.
Oh, I thought
in
it was,
1904.
I thought it was just a moniker.
No. The beloved Dr. Seuss wrote and illustrated 60 children's books under his pen name. His illustrious career began with And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street in 1930s. You know that one.
And to Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know that one. But it took Horton Hears a Who in 1940 to make him a bestseller, and The Cat in the Hat and The Grinch Who Stole Christmas in 1957 to make him a household name. Books like One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, and Green Eggs and Ham were designed to help children learn to read, while cautionary tales like The Lorax articulated Seuss's stance on social issues like environmental causes.
Yeah, I like that Lorax. Lorax is like...
I just saw the movie recently.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was good. But it's crazy that like this is 1957 and we're just making movies now from his books. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but also just, like, that he in 1957, he was actually talking about like environmental stuff. Like we need to stop cutting down the trees.
Right, because the trees are all gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And guess what?
What?
Still a problem.
Still a problem.
Still a problem. Nobody listened. They're like, cute book. We're
going to
keep cutting
down
the trees.
We're still going
to
cut down the trees.
We're going to cut down more trees to print more books.
Blow more. That's so funny that he wrote a book about cutting down the trees, right. But his books were printed on
paper.
On trees.
Yeah. He received the special Pulitzer Prize in 1984 for his contribution to the education and enjoyment of America's children.
Yes.
Didn't know that was a Pulitzer Prize.
Yeah. He's really big. Like any school in America, you will find a Dr. Seuss book.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. Iconic. By the early 21st century, an estimated 600 million copies of Seuss's books had been sold worldwide.
So many trees.
So many trees.
So many trees.
Yeah. Okay, so tell me about your experiences with Dr. Seuss.
I remember The Cat in the Hat might have been the first book that I ever read by myself. It's also, I would always get weirded out by it because I was like, first off, this cat just came into the house and it just fucked the house up. And then he brought out these two weirdo things, thing one and thing two, to clean it up. But yeah, that was my first book that I ever read was The Cat in the Hat. And then
I was a slutty thing one for a Halloween one.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a theme. You were always like a slutty thing. Who was there a slutty thing too?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Was there more
my
things?
My friend Lauren. Yeah.
No. Were there more things? Or just thing one and thing two?
Or just thing one and thing two.
Okay. Slutty thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, for me, that was very iconic for me because it was the first book I read. But then I read all the books. I read Green Eggs and Ham, Horton Hears a Who. I've never read The Grinch. I just saw the movie. The Lorax, One Fish, Two Fish.
What about Hop on Pop?
Hop on Pop, that was another one.
Hop on Pop, I remember I read Hop on Pop and then I would like hop, like violently hop on my stepdad. Uh-huh. And he was like, I'm not your pop.
I'm not your pop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Stop. I'm not your pop.
I think, wasn't that the one when the dad's like, yo, chill out. Just yeah. Like, and then he's like, I just want to be loved.
Yeah,
that was me. He has like a recollection. Yeah, so like that was me. I'm sure like everybody, everyone knows Dr. Seuss. Everyone reads Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
If you live in America, if you're part of the American culture, he's a cultural icon.
Yeah, I also remember just like everything. Schools, doctor's offices, like waiting rooms at a doctor's mm-hmm. office filled with Dr. Seuss. I was like, I want to see Dr. Seuss, actually.
Yeah,
I don't want to see my doctor.
I thought the Cat in the Hat was Dr. Seuss because yeah. he was like always on the.
I thought he was a real doctor.
Yeah, that was just his name.
Yeah, it was just his name. Okay, so here's what you don't know about Seuss.
Okay.
Seuss credits his expert use of rhyming to his mother, who would weirdly recite poems to him at bedtime. One of her favorites was memorized from working in her father's bakery and went apple, mince, lemon, peach, apricot, pineapple, blueberry, coconut, custard, and squash.
That doesn't rhyme.
That's not right.
What the hell, Dr. Seuss? That doesn't even rhyme.
Yeah.
That's just a list of things.
That's the grocery list.
The grocery list.
That's the thing that the bakery needed to pick up.
None of that rhymed.
Yeah.
So maybe he was like, this bitch can't rhyme, so I got to figure out how to rhyme things.
He's like, I'm going to have to pick up where she left
Pick up the slack.
Yeah. He adopted his pen name after being kicked off the editorial board of his college, Dartmouth's humor magazine.
So he's smart.
Jack-o'-lantern. Yeah, he went to Dartmouth.
Ivy League.
When he was caught drinking gin in his dorm during Prohibition, he continued to write for it under the name Dr. Seuss. Okay, so he's finding gin during the Prohibition.
So he was connected.
He's my kind of guy.
And he's getting drunk writing kids books.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only way to write anything.
Yeah.
Just get drunk.
Yeah.
He started drawing political cartoons for a leftist paper in 1941. He tried to join the Navy to fight in World War II, but he was instead asked to make war propaganda films, more propaganda, with famous director Frank Capra. He helped create the cartoon character Private Snafu, a very dumb soldier who taught new recruits how to behave. One Snafu cartoon began, it's so cold it would freeze the nuts off a Jeep.
Freeze the nuts off a Jeep. So that means he was really good at what he did, because if they're like, he's like, I want to go fight. They're like, nah,
we're going to need you to doodle.
To doodle. For our propaganda.
Or he was so bad. He was so weak. They're like,
nah, bro.
They're like, you're three sheets to the wind. You're wasted on gin right now.
Let's just draw some things right now.
Okay. He wrote two adult books, including The Seven Lady.
Well, like for adults or like?
Adult books.
Oh, like for adults. Okay.
Adult books.
Like sexy books.
Sexy books.
Oh, wow.
The Seven Lady Godivas, The True Facts Concerning History's Barest Family, about a bunch of naked sisters.
Oh, okay, so it was an adult book.
An adult book.
Like, a book of look. Look at the book.
Look at the book. It's an adult book. Book
for the nook.
The women's crudely rendered... Oh, it's about women's crudely rendered breasts. It was a flop. Like my
no pun intended. Yeah, like it's what? About women's breasts, and it was a flop.
Oh, yeah, look at them.
This has to stop. Okay, and they're writing. So, on the cover of the book, you have seven women of all different shapes and sizes,
but not colors. They're all white.
They're all white, and they all have different hairstyles. and they're riding on what seems to be like a gray horse dog of some sorts, and they're all naked, but you can't really see anything. So, yeah,
you
it was.
You can see the bazonkas. You can see the titties.
Butts. The butts. You can see the titties. They got a big girl in there. I like to see that. Look, he was body positive.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was all over it. Yeah, okay,
Dr. Seuss. As you're peach.
Yeah, as long as you're white.
As long as you're white, he's body positive.
The white is right.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break for our sponsors. We will be right back. Welcome back, Dr. Seuss. We know him, we love him, but
he's a scumbag because he's here. He's here.
Yeah,
he wouldn't be on this show if he wasn't a scumbag.
Yeah, you may have heard that in 2021, publishing company Dr. Seuss Enterprises announced that it would stop publishing 6 of Seuss's books that they believe to portray people in ways that are hurtful or wrong.
Yes,
this led to much outcry over Seuss's cancellation, which is, I mean, canceling a dead person
is dumb.
It's stupid. The world already canceled him.
Yeah, he's dead.
God canceled his ass.
Also, he was a white man in the time when he could do whatever he wanted in wartime.
Yeah.
He was the top of the food chain.
Yeah, and he could draw, and he had a gin plug.
Yeah.
So he was doing great.
He was doing, I'm not a
okay, let's see what else happened here. Okay, this list of retired books included If I Ran the Zoo, in which the narrator said he wanted to put a chieftain, i.e. a man pictured in a turban, on display in the titular zoo. 2 African characters are rendered as monkeys.
Monkeys.
And a posse of Asian characters are described as helpers who all wear their eyes at a slant.
Wear their eyes at a slant. Not their eyes are slanted, but they just wear their eyes.
They wear them at a
slant.
From countries no one can spell.
Okay, so
I can spell Asia.
I can spell Asia. That's a continent.
Oh.
By the way,
I can spell Japan. I can spell China.
China. I mean, but like,
I just don't think that's a good dig.
But maybe they can't. You can't spell it how it sounds. Can you spell Nihongo? That's what Japan is called.
Oh,
so like
we have Americanized ways of saying their countries.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense, and I feel incredibly dumb.
And that's why you can spell them. So he had the titular zoo. So he had the man in the turban, and he had two black people as monkeys. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that's pretty racist to have
not
black
great.
People as monkeys.
Sign of the times, but not.
It
great.
Is a sign of the times, but I never really got that black people as monkeys. I mean, I think there's a people of all races that look like monkeys. She's staying away from this because she's like, you're not gonna get me to say that there's so many races that look like monkeys. I know, but monkeys is you have to remove that. If you have the black people depicted as monkeys, you gotta. But the thing about it is, a lot of people,
evolutionists
are like,
anymore.
Oh yeah, we come from monkeys.
You can't do that anymore. But we can I ask the question? And this is from
pure.
Just asking the question.
Yes, I'm ready for it.
Is that something that they were doing at that time often outside of Seuss books, or was he the only person?
No, they were doing it all the time. So it's not like, I mean, it's not like he was doing something that was different.
Right. It was wrong, but it was everyone was doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel for me, it's a learning thing. You were like, oh yeah, this was made in 1950, whatever. But like, I get why people are mad about it, but.
Okay, so his racist imagery predates his books. The extensive study of Seuss's cartoons by the founders of the Conscious Kids Social Justice Library, hate that name, noted that his advertising work, Seuss consistently portrayed Africans and African Americans as monkeys and cannibals.
Cannibals. I mean, that's also a sign of the times. Because, like, it was all, like,
The only cannibal I know is the one from Silence of the Lambs.
No, but, like, that was a thing where, like, African people were savages and cannibals, and they would have the bones in their noses and all these other things. So that happened with, like, the Looney Tunes, Walt Disney, all these racist characters where they would have depicted black people as these things. So that is also a sign of the times. Yeah, so these are facts. These are all facts. And this also, like, this is a sign of the time. So he was doing all these things at a time where everyone was doing these things.
Right.
And I don't know why people are surprised by this.
Right. Yeah. See, that's the thing. I'm obviously not trying to defend him because this shit is abhorrent. But, like, we were all abhorrent.
Yeah.
Like, we were all behaving very badly.
Yeah, and I feel like all these things that he's doing, it's just what was going on at the time.
Yeah.
So it's just like, do I agree with it? No, but do I think that erasing it and not having it out there where people are like are able to access, if it is accessible for people, I think it should be. I don't think you should erase it, because then you didn't, erasing it doesn't take away that it happened.
Totally. So let's keep going with,
because he's a writer. He wasn't like a president or like
Okay, so in a 1929 cartoon, a group of thick-lipped black men.
Thick-lipped black men, yeah.
Are depicted as being up for sale to a group of white men.
Uh-huh.
In one of his flit ads, a disgusted white woman says to a black man, "You hold a job, worthless. Say N-word when you hold a job a week. Mosquitoes will brush their teeth with flit and like it."
Yeah, he was a racist. he was a white man that grew up like why is anybody surprised by this?
I'm not surprised. It's just like, it's not even creative. Like Cat in the Hat and everything that he did that wasn't racist was kind of dope. And like his racist shit is just racist.
Like, it's flat out mean
and racist. Yeah. And like
he
it's not even creative.
It's not even rhyming. Like if he was rhyming.
He's taking a page out of his mom's book.
Yeah, with no rhymes. Yeah, no. Just all hate.
Yeah.
Don't be late.
Yeah.
We will hate.
Yeah. During World War II, Seuss drew Japanese people as pigs with snouts, snakes, monkeys, and cats, and frequently used captions that replaced R's with L's to reference the stereotype that Japanese people can't say R sound.
That's a deep cut.
It's a deep cut. In one cartoon, a Japanese man comes out of a box labeled Jap War Threat with the caption, "Veli scary Jap in a box."
Oh my god.
Jap in a box.
That's like
I feel like I just got tricked into reading that. Literally right as Japanese people were being rounded up and placed in internment camps, Seuss published a cartoon that showed them as hateful saboteurs holding grenades. One of his World War II propaganda films, Our Job in Japan, told soldiers that they needed to re-educate the backwards Japanese people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So he was big on propaganda. He was doing all these things while we were at war with the Japanese people in Japan. He was doing all this stuff.
Right.
Why people were going in internment camps.
Right.
This guy was pretty, he was a fucking awful person.
He was racist down to the fucking core.
Yeah, because it's like sometimes it doesn't even seem necessary to do all these things. And he's just like, he's like pushing it to the limit.
Yeah.
And he's just making, but like I said, this is what was going on at the time. And I think for people to try to erase it, like, oh yeah, we're going
to
take these books
away. I don't think anyone's
trying
to erase it. I think they're just trying to bring light to the fact that he was trash.
Yeah, but they wanted to take the books away.
I have a question. He's trash. Obviously, he's trash. But if he wanted to fight for his country and go to war, and then the government was like, actually, no, we need you to do this propaganda, is it actually the government and the people that are commissioning this art from him that want this out there?
Of course. Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, how much of it is what he believes and how much of it is what the government is telling him to publish?
Yeah. I mean, that is
that's a big part of, I'm not defending him, by the way, he's trash, obviously. But
I mean,
that's a big part.
I think it's like half a dozen in one and six in the other, where it's like, he's like, yeah, I'll do this because I want to do it. But also that all that stuff was just what it was. Like the whole, you see these pictures of like the black people eating watermelons and like the slow, shiftless characters. And there was this guy, Stephen Fetchit, who played the like Sambo characters. And he was like, yeah. But this guy was just doing his job. And, and he was making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And people hated him for it because he was, but it was like,
well, people didn't hate him at the time.
No.
He was like famous.
Well, white people didn't.
Well, yeah.
Well, Stephen Fetchit, like black people hate him because he was perpetuating it.
Right, right.
Like if, like I would be more surprised if it was like a black guy that was doing all this stuff or like doing this. I'm not surprised by it, but I think there is that element of like he was doing this propaganda because he was working for the government. But also, I feel that essentially he did believe some of this shit.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's worth noting that Seuss also drew cartoons History Can Side With, which critiqued the military's Jim Crow politics as well as Hitler's Nazi Germany. So in a book called Was the Cat in the Hat Black? English professor Philip Nell argues that the Cat in the Hat's look was heavily reminiscent of minstrel shows and blackface, even if unintentionally so.
So yeah, so that is where what I was just talking about with Step and Fetch It, where like the blackface in the minstrel shows were like white artists would put on blackface and be these black characters.
Right.
And be like, oh, Martha, I don't want to be doing this or whatever. I mean, now I've never thought about that, but like, I could see that, how the Cat in the Hat could be seen as that.
Yeah.
You should see her face. Can't. Her face right now, everybody. She's just like, it's just the white guilt that is just sitting on her shoulders right now. The weight of white guilt is she's even sunking down.
So I
in
mean,
her
yeah,
chair.
Yeah, I'll sit up.
Okay. It is heavy.
This is why I'm conflicted, because he does have like anti-Jim Crow stuff, anti-Nazi stuff. So it's like, what's his and what's the government's?
Yeah.
And
because it specifically said that he did not go. He wanted to fight, and they're like, "Nah,
we need you to doodle, do all this stuff. They're like, make this horrific shit."
Yeah.
So it's like, what is him, and what's the government, and what's propaganda? We'll never know because he's dead. Okay, but beyond the subtle and blatant racism in his book, Dr. Seuss had some other unappealing qualities.
Unappealing,
thank
okay.
God.
Yeah, well.
Thank God he's not just.
Not just a racist or like a white man that was born from 1900 to 19 present.
Okay. These were best exhibited on his nearly 40-year-old marriage to Helen Palmer Gazelle.
Okay.
Helen and Ted met at Oxford, where Helen noticed him doodling in class. She told him that's a very fine flying cow.
So this is his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And insisted, what you really want to do is draw. She later said she talked him out of being an English professor, writing that Ted's notebooks were always filled with all these fabulous animals, so I set to work diverting him.
Oh, that's right, because he did all the drawings too.
Yeah,
so he wrote the books and drew the books. Yeah. Okay,
here was a man who could draw such pictures, he should be earning a living doing that. They had a literal whirlwind romance, and after toppling them off the street on his motorcycle, he proposed to her in a roadside ditch.
Okay. Oh, wow. What a hopeless romantic.
Yeah. Throws her off the motorcycle.
We're on a ditch. Will you be my bitch? We have a sitch.
We have a sitch. We're in a ditch. Be my bitch. Ted, according to a friend, depends at all times on the level-headedness of his wife, Helen. She considered herself Seuss's chief editor, chief critic, business manager, and wife.
She's the boss bitch.
Boss bitch.
Yeah.
And founded Beginner Books, Seuss's Random House publishing imprint. So yeah, Seuss had an insanely supportive wife who has only ever encouraged his craft. Unfortunately, Helen had major health problems over a decade.
So she was sick for 10 years?
Yes, including Guillain-Barré syndrome, a rare immune disorder that left her partially paralyzed.
Ooh.
So what does Seuss do? I bet it's not good.
I would say, did he stay with her?
He starts cheating with a married neighbor and close friend of the couple, Audrey Diamond, who had two children and was nearly 20 years his junior.
So if she's sick, is it cheating, really? If she's sick, she's sick, right?
Are you being serious?
No, yeah.
Yeah, it's still
so
cheating.
So if you get sick, you have a paralyzed, you're paralyzed.
It's the same thing as Stephen Hawking.
But
he was just cheating, even though he couldn't.
No, but I'm saying, but you're paralyzed, right?
Mm-hmm. She's paralyzed.
Yeah, she's paralyzed.
He's not.
So
he's out there slanging dick.
Yeah, but I'm just saying though, should he not be able to? Like, if I'm paralyzed, if I'm married to somebody, go have fun, go do whatever you want to do.
I don't disagree, but the. Asking fundamentally, is it cheating? Yes, of course it is.
Tomato, tomato.
Tomato, potato. Unless they have a written arrangement, which... Okay, so anyway. So he starts... Boinking the neighbor, who's 20 years younger than him, which seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Tormented by her illnesses and her suspicions of Ted's infidelity.
So he didn't tell her, so he was just doing it. He should have just been like, yo, you paralyzed. I need to go dip my stick.
Wouldn't it be funny if she was paralyzed from that motorcycle accident?
Yeah. No, she had this disease.
She had a disease. Okay, no. So tormented by her illness.
Women stay in those situations. Men don't.
In what situations?
What, like when if a man is paralyzed, a woman will stay by himself.
That's not true. What's her name? Left.
Who?
Hawking's wife left.
I know, but in most cases, if you look at holistically, if there's some illness, like a woman will be more dedicated to a man than a man would be.
I think that might be a stereotype.
No, I think it's... I think
if somebody gets paralyzed, whether you're a man or a woman, well, you're fucking out.
But it's no, like, I know two situations specifically where the woman stayed and just didn't do anything. And the man was like, yo, go find someone. She's like, no, I made a vow. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I'd be like, see you later.
Yeah.
Okay. So tormented by her illnesses and her suspicions of Ted's infidelity, Helen committed suicide.
Committed suicide. She killed herself.
1967, consuming 294 barbiturate pills.
That would do it.
That's so many.
That's a lot.
How did she even get her hands on that many?
How do you swallow that much?
That's a lot.
300 pills?
Yeah.
Just.
And I think fewer could have done the trick.
But, I mean, she wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
We do not condone suicide on this podcast.
No.
Go also, seek help if you need to talk to somebody.
Shut up, Mati.
But don't swallow 300 fucking barbiturates.
Helen left a suicide note writing, "Dear Ted, what has happened to us?" Well, bitch, you left. So,
"Dear Ted, I am dead." Ted, how is that not the note?
"Dear Ted, I am dead. Your hands are red." "Dear Ted, what has happened to us? I don't know. I feel myself in a spiral going down, down, down." Well, yeah, because you took 300 pills. Yeah. "Into a black hole from which there is no escape, no brightness, and loud in my ears from every side I hear failure, failure, failure. I love you so much. I am too old and too enmeshed in everything you do and are that I cannot conceive a life without you. My going will leave quite a rumor, but you can say I was overworked and overwrought. Your reputation with your friends and fans will not be harmed. Sometimes think of the fun we had through all the years."
Wow, that's fucking powerful right there, man. Imagine reading that. I'm like, fuck. He let that out because we have it, but like, damn it. Yeah. I don't think I would let anybody read that. I would have burnt that shit.
I don't know. She's a down bitch.
Down, down, down.
Down, 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 bitch.
She said down, down, down 3 times.
Yeah.
And failure, failure, failure 3 times.
"Depressingly, it seems that even in moments before her death, Helen's main focus was on protecting the legacy she had."
Yeah,
because
she mentioned
Ted
that. And
yeah. That's what behind all these guys is, a bitch
like,
who did everything.
Everything. I'm with
everything.
You.
Everything. Everything.
I don't want this to harm you.
Yeah.
But I can't live without you.
The Gazelle's niece, Peggy, later said that Helen's suicide was her last and greatest gift to him. Ted's mistress, Audrey, later said that the fallout from the affair and the suicide made a rather large ripple in the community of La Jolla.
A large ripple in La Jolla.
La Jolla.
Yeah, I know. Like, not much going down in La Jolla, but this suicide death, it made a large ripple in our community. Not that I was fucking this paraplegic's husband.
Paraplegic's husband. No, no.
Well, she's paralyzed.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. After the suicide, Audrey immediately divorced her husband and Ted married her a year after Helen's death. So at least they did get married.
They got married.
True love, baby.
Yeah.
That never happened.
No. I mean, a lot of... No.
No, he never leaves. Well, I guess she left
him. She left her husband because she was also married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying the guy never leaves the woman, but the woman technically committed suicide.
Yeah, so she's so left. Yeah.
Like, yeah, he didn't actually technically. Okay. Only problem, Ted did not like kids. He famously loved... That's funny. Dr. Seuss hated kids.
Hated kids. That is hilarious.
That's really funny. He famously loved...
He especially hated black kids.
He famously loved saying of children, "You have them and I'll entertain them." So Audrey sent her 2 children away to boarding school. Audrey later said they wouldn't have been happy with Ted and Ted wouldn't have been happy with them. She added, "Ted's a hard man to break down, but this is who he was."
Just a kid hating racist.
Cheating on my
pleasure wife.
Yeah.
Well, the married woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who left her husband for him.
Uh-huh.
And then sent this man's kids to boarding school because he could not be bothered by them.
Right, because he's probably like, give them my books and send them on their way.
Get them out of here.
Ironic to think that history's most beloved children's book writer maybe wasn't all that fond of kids.
Well, not maybe. He definitely 100%. Wasn't. But that goes back to the thing where like most people who present themselves as one thing are a complete opposite. It's like that story where you find like, this like anti-gay pastor
who's gay
is on grounder.
Hell.
Like, yeah. So
It's all a charade.
It's all a charade.
It's all a fucking charade. All right, scumbag score.
Scumbag score.
We have to agree on a score between 1 to 100 based on their scumbaggery.
I mean, we don't have to agree on a score. We just each give our score.
Well, that's what the fucking prompt says, but we'll give our own scores. What's your scumbag score for old Seuss?
Dr. Seuss.
The Seuss is loose.
The Seuss is loose. If I had to do a score while I'm looking at the door, I might soar and say 84.
Ooh.
Hey, I go in 84. Yeah, I mean, he did do a lot of good things with the books, with the children's book, and he does have a lasting impression on me from the books. But like, I didn't know all the racist stuff that he did. I mean, when it came out a few years ago, I wasn't like surprised.
It was the pandemic.
It was during the pandemic. It felt like they were just searching for shit for news stories. But I'm not surprised. Like, I'm never surprised when an old white man is racist, specifically. Because that's just how the time was. You know what I mean? It's just who it was. And, like, it was more prevalent that you were than if you weren't. And so I never thought about that thing that you said where it was like, oh, yeah, maybe he was doing some things that the government just had him doing. But then he did some other shit on his own. And then, like, the hating the kids thing, that's pretty bad.
Oh, I understand hating kids.
I know
that's
you do.
That's the most relatable
I know you do. You're
to
not a,
me.
You're not a kids person. I'm a kids guy, but...
Well, thank God, because you have one.
I do. Even before that, I was, like, surrounded by kids.
Yeah, you were a teacher.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. See, I understand not liking kids. Kids annoy me.
Yeah.
The racist stuff is hard to even...
It was hard to read. I wish you guys could see... You could see her, but her face... She was just sinking into her seat.
It is atrocious. And I don't want to play devil's advocate, but I do wonder how much is him versus how much is what he was commissioned to do.
Yeah.
Because there is the part where it's like he's anti-Jim Crow, he's anti-Nazi.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like there's like some things.
There's
that
some
are
elements.
Like, yeah, like what did he really believe? I don't think we're ever going to really know that.
Yeah.
I think there's a ton of really horrific racist shit. Hating kids, I actually relate to. A scumbag scale, I would say... I think I'm going to agree with you at 84.
84.
Yeah, I think 84.
It's good. Solid.
Yeah. I think cheating on the paralyzed wife is...
We're not telling her, like, this is... You wanted something different.
Well, do you want to know when you're paralyzed and, like, you...
I would be like...
You say that, but I don't think you... Like, if you're paralyzed and you would be bummed if the answer is he's fucking the neighbor...
As long as I could watch... I'd be fine.
No, well, that's because you're a creepy old man. She's a fucking devastated woman who has built this guy's empire.
Yeah, and it was gradual too. So yeah. That always meant. But also, I'm thinking, like, maybe what if she didn't write that and he just wrote it and like to make it seem.
No, if he would have wrote it, it would have been.
Yeah, better. It would have been a lot rhymey. It would have been more rhymey.
It would have been what you said.
Yeah,
exactly. Dear Ted, I'm dead.
Don't tell Fred.
Don't tell Fred. All right. Do we still stand today's scumbag? Now let's factor in Dr. Seuss's legacy. Does the good outweigh the bad? Does amusing generations of children forgive virulent racism and screwing the neighbor?
No.
Yeah.
He's still a scumbag.
He's a scumbag. I think we're all scumbags.
We're all a little scumbaggy.
I think we're all scumbags. I think none of us know until our spouse is crippled whether or not we would cheat on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, I'd probably be with the Seuss on this one. The Seuss is loose. Seuss, I do like that he just gave himself the name of Doctor. No, Doctor.
Just Doctor. Like Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
He was the first Dr. Phil. He just made himself a doctor.
Right.
He was like, I'm a doctor. Theodore. Dr. Seuss.
Ted. All right. So for all the fans, have you guys ever made a joke that aged poorly? I mean, calling this a joke that ages poorly.
Yeah, like
calling racism a joke that ages.
Did you ever publish 17,000 books that aged poorly?
We've all had jokes that age poorly.
We've all had jokes that age poorly, but also we're two people who say whatever the fuck we want to say,
right.
Mostly on stage, and like I think it's different from us, from the people who listen. here. Like you might,
right.
you can't do the things, you can't say the things that we're saying. Like, I forget who said it the other day where it's like, oh, everyone's like, comedians, we can't say anything. Like, no,
as comedians, anything.
We can say anything. It's the people that work in the office
that
can't say anything. So yeah, if there was like a bad joke that you said or something that offended somebody that you would probably get fired for today, let us know.
Yeah. That's our show for today. If you're enjoying Scumbags of History, prove you're not a scumbag by giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere that you're listening, and subscribe now for future episodes. I'm Brittany Schmidt.
And I'm Mateen Stewart.
See you next time, scumbags.
Yes, scumbags. Hey, listeners, Mateen here. Brittany and I just want to say thank you guys for listening to our podcast. It means so much to us. We want to continue to be able to make the show great for you. And an excellent way for us to do that is to make sure that you tell us more about you, who you are, and what you like. There's a survey link in the show notes. If you can fill that out, it would help us continue making the show as great as it can be for you. Thank you. See you later, scumbags.
Someone stands frozen, their hearts pounding. Sweat pours down their face as they gasp for air. They struggle to get out words, but it's of no use. They are dying. Dying on stage in front of hundreds of people. A comedian's life is not all laughs. Sometimes there is silence, dead silence. I'm comedian Jeff Charlebois, and with my co-host Golly Krupp, we interview comedians who have returned from beyond the grave to give us their worst bombing experiences on stage and how they rose from the ashes to have a successful comedy career. You may laugh at them, you may even feel for them, but most of all, you'll thank your lucky stars that it wasn't you up on that stage. As they recount the bombing, you'll explode with laughter. So join me on this unique podcast called The Night I Died from Voyage Media, anywhere you listen to podcasts.